Hi there, it's Thursday, April 25th, 2024. Season 3, episode 53, What's Eating Kale? I'm Kale, and it's my favorite day of the week. Best opening theme music in podcasting, I swear. I got my new wheelchair yesterday, which was a surprise because normally when you order them, it takes 4, maybe 6 weeks to get them. 2.5 weeks. It's custom made and it, you know, has all these specs to it, but there's adjustments you can make. So they, in certain adjustments, are made specific in a very accurate way. And then some are things like back height and footrest height and things like that that you might change often anyway. And but they put them at ridiculous levels right now. In fact, I haven't changed the footrest height. The footrest is literally less than an inch off the ground, which is a huge problem for a number of reasons. Basically, my feet are barely on it, on the footrest. Secondly, I'll bump into everything. Like anything's going to cause me to hit to bottom out, I guess. So I thought that was kind of funny. And then the back height, which is adjustable. I like mine lower because I can move around a lot better. But the back height on here, they had it all the way up, which was about 4 or 5 inches higher than what I would like. In kind of like in a ridiculous way. Like I told them I like a lower one, but I would like the ability to adjust. So I got the adjustable and then they leave it at the highest level. Changing the back height is a biatch. Total bitch. So I did that yesterday. The brakes don't come. I mean, they're on, they're attached, but you have to adjust them. Pain in the ass. Brakes are horrible. At least the kind I have are. To deal with it, it took me 4 hours. And this is such a different wheelchair. I was kind of concerned last night. Well, it's different to get into, different to get out of. And it was late. I was tired. As you know, I get up early and we're talking 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. And I'm like, should I just stay in the old wheelchair for now? And just tomorrow I'll deal with this. Excuse me. But I decided not to. I decided to switch over to the new wheelchair, go to bed in it and everything. And getting out of the wheelchair into bed was like, should I be doing this? Tired, whatever. And it went fine. Everything went fine. There's a few things on here that I love more than other wheelchairs. Few things that I don't like as much as other wheelchairs. You know, for $4,000, you'd think that you should love everything. You know, but. It's one of those learning things, you know, now that I have this one, which normally my wheelchairs like can fold up sideways and you can kind of fit them into a car a little bit better. Not much because the height can be also an issue. So this one, the height won't be an issue, but it won't be able to fold up side to side. You can take it apart super quick. You can just pop the wheels off and whatever, but, I've never had, I did once, but it's, for a short period of time, I had a wheelchair similar to this, but this is the first one that, you know, I'll probably have this one for 5 years at least. So we'll see how this goes. And I apologize. This frog is in my throat and it is not coming out. I'm going to cough once. Hang on. All right. Sorry about that. Hopefully that took care of the problem. Anyway, long story short, too late. Got my new wheelchair and got it all set up last night and started using it. Some adjustments I need to make yet today. I can tell you right now. I have the back at a very, very straight angle, which I love. When I was looking at it, I'm like, oh, I don't know about that. That looks a little hardcore, but I love it. Lots of support. And then like when I'm sitting in it, just really casually, I'm in a much better posture. Which I think is everybody's downfall, right? Good posture. You ever see people who sit with perfect posture? It almost looks uncomfortable. They look great, right? But you're like, man, I don't know. Can I sit like that for a long period of time? you know, kind of your hips back a little bit and your, yeah, I don't know. Not without support. Like, I can do it, don't get me wrong, but I feel like sitting there for an hour, oof, I couldn't do that, I don't think. All right, time to be grateful. Slow down, take some deep breaths. Reflect on things that you should be grateful for that you're probably going to forget to be grateful for. Be grateful for people and tell them so. Just be grateful. I am grateful for Lisa today, and as soon as I'm done here, I'm going to go tell her. She normally takes care of our dogs every day. Like, in the evening, she does all the feeding and the treats and all that kind of thing. And now she's been gone a couple of nights, and she's going to be gone again tonight. I appreciate that a lot more than I used to. That's for sure. Having to do it myself, it's kind of for the birds. Just really watching them is kind of for the birds, right? Like, they always want to go out. I appreciate it very, very much. I'm grateful for two more sleeps until mid to upper 70 degree temperatures. Man, am I jacked up about that. I'm grateful for new business, which has been coming at a perfect rate lately. Very, very grateful for that. Don't forget to be grateful for it. Don't forget to be grateful today. If you're grateful for somebody, tell them. It's an important thing. Time for celebrity birthdays. If you want to get a birthday on, it's mail@kaleguin.com. mail@kaleguin.com. On to regular celebrities for today. Actor Al Pacino is 84. Bassist Stu Cook of Creedence Clearwater Revival is 79. Actor Talia Shire is 79. She's Rocky's wife. Singer Bjorn Ulvaeus of ABBA is 79. Actor Jeffrey DeMunn of The Green Mile is 77. Country singer-songwriter Bob Crosby is 70. Actor Hank Azaria from The Simpsons is 60. He was also Phoebe's boyfriend for a while on Friends. Singer Andy Bell of Erasure is 60. Bassist Eric Avery of Jane's Addiction is 59. Former early show host Jane Clayson is 57. Actor Gina Torres of I Think I Love My Wife is 55. Renee Zellweger is 55. Looks like her plastic surgery has gotten her down to about 54 or so. Actor Jason Lee, My Name is Earl, and Almost Famous is 54. By the great, one of my favorite movies of all time, Almost Famous. If you haven't, make sure you do, especially if you like music. Fantastic movie. Actor Marguerite Moreau of The O.C. or Life as We Know It is 47. Singer Jacob Underwood of O-Town is 44. O-Town. That's funny. Actor Jaden Ray of The Conners is 15. And that, my friends, are the celebrity birthdays for today. It's time now to move on to... Wow, that took a really long time to fade out. For entertainment and other non-political headlines... All right, does that get you in the mood for entertainment and other non-political headlines? I think it should. From Good Morning America, Billie Eilish has a new album coming out. Her third studio album, Hit Me Hard and Soft, is less than a month away, and ahead of its release, the two-time Academy Award... Wait, what? The two-time Academy Award winner? I know she just won for the one for the Barbie thing, but... And nine-time Grammy winner is opening up about the new project... That reminds her of her first album. Eilish, who's just 22, released When I Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? When We Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? In 2019, said working on Hit Me Hard and Soft has felt like coming back to the girl that I was. I've been grieving her, she said in a cover interview with Rolling Stone that was published on Wednesday. I've been looking for her in everything, and it's almost like she got drowned by the world and the media. I don't remember when she went away. Ahead of the new album, the What Was I Made For singer, I don't like when they do this, god darn it, she isn't releasing any singles from it. I don't like singles from albums, she said. Every single time an artist I love puts out a single without the context of an album, I'm just already prone to hating it. Eilish spoke to Rolling Stone about how one song on the album in particular, titled Lunch, helped her open up about her sexuality. That song was actually part of what helped me become who I am, to be real. She says, I wrote some of it before even doing it with a girl, and then wrote the rest after. I've been in love with girls for my whole life, she added, but I just didn't understand. I was never planning to talk about my sexuality ever in a million years. By the way, subsequently in an interview with Entertainment Weekly, the 22-year-old said, sex and masturbation are her way of decompressing during her hectic schedule as she preps for the May release of her third album. And she said, this was really funny. It was in the headline, and that's why I read it. Billie Eilish said she should have a PhD in masturbation. I thought that was a great line. And Dr. Billie Eilish, that's awesome. From Yahoo, Suge Knight says Snoop Dogg is responsible for Tupac's downfall and death. Suge Knight, he seems like a bit of a, he's like kind of coming off the rails a little bit. Continuing his vendetta against Snoop Dogg, this time placing the blame for Tupac Shakur's downfall on the West Coast rap legend's shoulders, while addressing Drake's usage of AI-generated vocals resembling Shakur and Snoop's voices on Taylor Made, his new diss record aimed at Kendrick Lamar, the Death Row co-founder took the opportunity to speak ill of Snoop. That's kind of a long way of saying he took an opportunity for something completely different to bash Snoop. Young people do what they... I don't speak like this, so please forgive me. I'm normally bad at this, but this is going to get real bad. Young people do what young people do. It's y'all turn, but regarding the homie Pac, he wasn't no chump. The incarcerated rap mogul continued, putting him on a song and dissing Kendrick Lamar for everybody's entertainment, that ain't how it go. Knight seemed particularly miffed at Drake placing AI vocals resembling Snoop's voice alongside Pac's, as he believes that the Dogfather played a role in the late icon's demise and was jealous of his label mate. Then putting him on a song with Snoop, who was part of this downfall and exit, ain't even a good look. Pac was a king on that chessboard. He never was a pawn, so you can't make him be a pawn now. Well, there you have it. Some coherent thinking from Suge Knight from his jail cell. From Variety Magazine, finally a reaction from ex-boyfriends regarding Taylor Swift's The Tortured Poets Department album. In a brief on-the-street interview, Maddie Healy is asked to rate Swift's new diss track on the album compared to the 30 other songs. He says, my diss track, I haven't really listened that much to that much of it, but I'm sure it's good. That's a great response, by the way. I wonder why she broke up with him. He seems like such a nice kid. From Variety Magazine, several crew members were injured on the set of Eddie Murphy's movie, The Pickup. The Amazon Studios feature film, currently shooting in Georgia, the studio confirmed on Tuesday that multiple people were hurt while filming a second unit sequence. Unfortunately, the sequence did not go as planned, and several members of the crew were injured as a result, the studio spokesperson said. The Associated Press reports that a truck locked up and crashed unexpectedly into a car. According to the report, two people were hospitalized with injuries that ranged from bruises to broken bones. Too bad. That sucks. From Fox News, John Bon Jovi, his 35-year marriage doesn't need rules to be successful. Excuse me. I don't think that we need rules, he says. I think it's just the mutual admiration society, he explained. I think it's as simple as that. You wake up in the morning excited to be with each other, and you admire each other, and you respect each other. It's a pleasure to do. It's a pleasure to be. During John's interview with Fox News Digital, the musician shared how being a part of a successful band for 40 years has impacted his relationships, including the union with his wife. Well, the relationships both with your family as well as with the family called the band have, in my eyes, only deepened with decades and the trust built. Relationships truly matter. I can write a record like 2020 and be the observing reporter, but when you write something personal and people make it about them, that's when the magic happens. They got that new Hulu documentary coming out tomorrow. I'll be interested. I might even have to get Hulu in order to see it. I was a big fan, so I'll be interested to relive that. From TMZ, Donald Trump may go to jail in his money case. One second, please. Let's see if that helps. From TMZ, Donald Trump may go to jail in his hush money case, but even before that, he may get locked up over a gag order, something the Secret Service is ready for but not anticipating. As you know, Trump is currently on trial in New York City, where prosecutors are trying to convince the jury he broke the law by allegedly coordinating payments to Stormy Daniels to keep her quiet ahead of the 2016 election, something he's pled not guilty to. While he's technically facing a maximum sentence of up to 4 years in prison if convicted, no one really expects that to happen, especially for a first-time offender like Trump. However, a much more likely scenario in the interim is the possibility of him being held in contempt for violating a gag order that's been handed down by the judge in this case, which prosecutors, by the way, argued that Trump already did and should be punished for right now. I got to be honest with you, the way he acts, everyone else would have gone to jail by now or been held in contempt and had to pay fines and all that. Somebody can't put a gag order on you and then you just go violate it. When you leave, you're in the court building still. And you just go and you just blast and no regard for it whatsoever. I think anybody else would get fined or tossed in the clink for the night. And he's not even going to get, nothing's going to happen to him for any of this stuff. He's the Teflon Don, I guess. Kind of similar to who's that guy, the gangster not too long ago. All right, let's move on. Time for the good news. Bah, bah, bah. All right. Title today is Taco Bell manager revives lifeless baby that pulled up to the drive-thru. Now, let me clarify. This is from the Good News Network. I did not write that headline, because the headline suggests that potentially this baby pulled up in a car to the drive-thru, but that's not what it means. Someone pulled up to the drive-thru and the baby inside the car was lifeless. So it's only funny because everything comes off fine. The headline says so. Taco Bell manager revives him. At the Richboro Taco Bell outside of Philadelphia, where the French prince is from, manager Becky Arba wasn't looking. I added the Fresh Prince thing in there. That's from the Good News Network, by the way. I got to get my head together here. Okay, at the Richboro Taco Bell outside Philadelphia, manager Becky Arba wasn't working the lunch rush, but was around nevertheless. She heard a scream coming from the drive-thru window, followed by harrowing words, call 911, the baby isn't breathing. The phone would have to wait as Arbor threw off her headset and rushed to see the situation. Just outside the drive-thru window, she saw Natasha Long holding the lifeless blue body of her 11-week-old son, Miles. The mom was panicked. Arbaugh told Good Morning America, "I told her to give him to me and I performed CPR. I was trying to calm her down and comfort her and reassure her that he will be fine. The baby finally started to breathe. The ambulance came pretty quickly and then took over. The EMT said I saved his life." The circumstances could not have been more fortunate for Miles because Arbaugh, a mother to four children herself, has already restarted the heart of her daughter a few times owing to medical complications. Wow. In an emailed statement to ABC News, a spokesperson for Taco Bell said, "We are incredibly proud of Becky for her heroic act earlier this week. We are getting in touch to express appreciation for her quick actions and kindness." I wonder if there will be a check involved in that. As for her, Taco Bell family, quote-unquote Taco Bell family, GMA said that the store members and those in other locations have showered her with messages of appreciation. While Mother Natasha spoke with Arbaugh on the phone on the phone the next day to express what the mother's reading can only, what the mother's reading can only imagine would be heartfelt gratitude. Great story, poorly written. But it is, I mean, what are the odds that you're in trouble. You pull into a tie because you got to do something. Tell them to call 911 and someone there can save your baby. And the fact that someone at Taco Bell, that's somewhat, right? That's pretty crazy. And that someone needing to be revived at a Taco Bell, it wasn't because of the food. Those are all pretty amazing things, I think. All right, time to move on to what's eating kale today. I've titled today's segment, I am a man, therefore I'm wrong. I highly suspect that the majority of the people that listen are males, only because it's who I hear from the most. So the people who do, I don't get a ton of emails and stuff, but the emails that I do get are typically from men, oftentimes telling me how I've screwed something up. But I am a man, therefore I am wrong. Here's the story. So Lisa has all these work things this week, and she's got, they're all after work. And so she's like, she leaves in the morning, let's say 7:30. She's coming home at like 8:30. Last night it was, I don't know, maybe 9:30. She got another one this week. So anyway, normally the biggest challenge would be just me managing the dogs, as I've mentioned before, because they get stir crazy. She normally walks them. Hard to walk dogs in a wheelchair. But I found a solution that I'll discuss at a later date, which is working out great, by the way. But this week, my biggest challenge was she brought home dessert the other night. It was a small piece, I don't know, maybe 2 inches square, of Mississippi mud pie. And I have, in the past, historically, loved Mississippi mud pie. It's, you know, it's got some mousse in it. There's different variations on it, but it's got typically a mousse and like a crunchy, chocolatey crust on it. I've had it, part of its makeup was ice cream and drizzled with fudge, and, I mean, I've had a couple different variations. So I was excited. She was telling me about it on the way home. I ate it. And sure enough, you know, there's mousse and there's a chocolatey crust. But in this one, they added nuts, which I don't want nuts in my dessert. I don't like that. The only nuts that I like a drumstick from time to time, the ice cream treat. And I'll live with those. I would even rather not have them there, but they typically come on there, and I enjoy that. But I don't like them in brownies, don't like them in banana bread. I don't like it. Anyway, so it has nuts, and I didn't like that. But then the real problem for me was the mousse was just okay. I like a chilled mousse. This was warm, but that was because she drove it home and what have you. But the real problem for me was the chocolatey crust and the crumble that was on top. It wasn't very good. It was almost cake-like. It wasn't as crunchy and, I don't know. I didn't enjoy it. The best Mississippi mud pie I ever had Oreo cookie crust on it. And it was, oh, this was not that. Kind of felt powdery and, yeah. So anyway, I've had them that I've loved and didn't love this one. So I said that I gave an honest answer. I said, I didn't really like it. To which she replies, here, I thought I was doing something nice for you. And I'm like, you did do something nice for me, and I really appreciate it. I just didn't like the dessert. Now, I know what a lot of you are thinking. You're like, you dumbass. You don't tell her you didn't like it. She did something nice for you. Okay, she did do something nice for me. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. But here's how my life works. If I would have said, oh, yeah, it was great, it's going to come back to haunt me for the rest of my life. She'll be like, oh, let's drive by that restaurant where they had the Mississippi mud pie that you like. I got you a piece. And I'm going to have to eat that shit for forever. Well, let's go to that restaurant where they have the Mississippi pie that you like so much. Yeah. I can appreciate the fact that you did that and not like the food. I can appreciate you took me to a movie and I didn't like the movie. I don't understand why that has to be like, it was fine. I don't know. I think she would have saw right through that too. I do. I would have either lied and said, oh, it was great, thank you so much. Or I would have been, I could be honest. Those are the only two options. Now you bastards out there that would lie and tell me that I should have lied. It does remind me of the waiting room the other day where I told Jim, be careful with your answer when the lady said, you can come back and be with your wife, but she says you don't have to if you don't want to, right? Like that's an opportunity to be wrong. And I warned Jim, and maybe I should have warned myself, but I don't want that Mississippi pie anymore. I just need to stop. I need it to stop. So, yeah, kind of got myself in a little bit of a pickle there. I don't know. Let's see how it plays out here. I'll keep you posted. That, my friends, is What's Eating Kale Today. I hope you enjoyed. Until the next time, make it a good one and enjoy this.